And of course, that name, the name, of course, is the name of Jesus or Yeshua, which means, in fact, the Lord who saves. And indeed, that's why our Lord Jesus came into this earth, was he not? That's why he was born in a manger there in Bethlehem, so that he might be your Savior and my Savior. And only Jesus can save, not the Pope, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Charles Russell of Jehovah's Witnesses, not Joseph Smith of the Mormon Church. Only Jesus can save. Second key passage, of course, is our main text for this morning's or today's message, and that's John 14:6. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me." Here we discover survival strategy number 15. If you're keeping record, I imagine probably you're not, but it is. Believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Let me say that again. Believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation? There is no other way but through Jesus Christ. So, dear people, on the authority of the Word of God, the very words of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus himself, there is only one way to salvation, and Jesus is that only way. I invite you to consider with me today four affirmations that verify that Jesus is the only way of salvation, and there is no other way. Let me pray for us first, and then we'll look at them. Father, bless your word now to our hearts. May the Spirit of God quieten our hearts and speak to our hearts this morning. May we be attentive to your word. May the word of God resonate deep within our hearts. And may we once again know that there is only one way of salvation, and that's through the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen. So four affirmations that verify that Jesus is the only way of salvation, and that there is no other way. Affirmation number one, Jesus Christ is the way out. Jesus Christ is the way out. First, Jesus is the way out of slavery and sin. Without being aware of it, people are slaves to sin. We all are. Sin is defined as any word, any thought, any act that displeases God. The Bible defines sin this way, 1 John 3:4. For sin is a transgression or the breaking of the law. So sin is an act. It's the breaking of a law or commandment of God. And it is sin. There is the sin of anger, hatred, slander, gossip, lying, stealing, swearing, using God's name in vain, evil speaking, pride, selfishness, greed, lust, sexual immorality, or any sex outside of the confines of the marriage bed of a husband and wife, murder, drunkenness, and the list can go on and on of the sins that are committed by man. How does sin manifest itself? It manifests itself in our attitudes. It manifests itself in our actions, our ambitions. If Christ is not Savior or Lord and Master of our lives, we become a servant or a slave to sin versus righteousness. Jesus himself said, "Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." John 8:34. So how then can you and I be free from sin? The yoke of sin. Through repenting of sin and believing on Jesus Christ. That's how you and I can be free. In fact, Jesus himself said in John 8:36, "Therefore, if the Son," that's Jesus, "makes you free, you will be free indeed." So only as I am free in Christ can I now be a slave unto righteousness and holiness of living and in turn please God. Now that we are bound to Christ, he is our master now. We are a slave to him now. And he therefore gives us power to do good and to live righteously and holy rather than evil. And we see this in Romans chapter 6, verse 18, where the Apostle Paul writes for us and gives us this teaching here. Romans chapter 6, verse 18, "And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now no longer do we need to be slaves to sin, we can be slaves unto righteousness now. as God's people. And then verse 22, he says, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. Secondly, Jesus is the way out of failure and the waste of sin. The Bible says in Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, friends, without salvation through Jesus Christ, people are failures throughout eternity, even if they ruled an empire, even if they won the Stanley Cup, or won a Music Grammy Award, or possessed millions of dollars while living on earth. I have news for everyone. Only Jesus can pay the wages of sin and deliver us from spiritual death and spiritual darkness and spiritual bondage and eternal torment. No achievements, no accomplishments, no money can do that. Only Jesus Christ can. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Romans 6:23. Thirdly, Jesus is the way out of disappointment of sin. Jesus is the way out of the disappointment of sin. Please understand, faithless living always disappoints. Faithless living always disappoints. No one can play on Satan's team and be a winner, as much as man might think so. It may look like they are now, but in the end, they are losing. They lose along with their coach, if you would, Satan himself. No one would want to go bankrupt, yet every person who goes through life without God follows a way that brings major disappointment in the end. And that's why wise Solomon wrote in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but its end is a way of death. Proverbs 14:12. Affirmation number two. Jesus Christ is the way through. Jesus Christ is the way through. First, Jesus is the way through an uncertain tomorrow. Jesus is the way through an uncertain tomorrow. No one knows what tomorrow has in store, right? The only thing certain about the future is its uncertainty. One thing is certain, and that is that only Jesus, who holds the future in his hands, can make us adequate for whatever the future holds. Only he can make us adequate. And only he can give us the strength and the power that we need to face an uncertain tomorrow. Only he can give us the hope that we need for tomorrow. We don't know the future, but God does. And he knows every need that you have and that I have. And that's why Jesus said these powerful words in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, beginning here at verse 31, Jesus says these words, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then over in Psalm, the book of Psalms, chapter 33, beginning at verse 13, we read these words. The Lord looks from heaven. He looks down from heaven, does he not? He sees all the sons of men. He sees all of us with all the needs that we have. From the place of his dwelling, he looks. He's looking down upon you and I today and all the inhabitants of the earth. And then verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. He has his eye on you and I as we fear the Lord in our lives, and on those who hope in his mercy. Are you hoping in his mercy today? To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Then he says in verse 20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. So no matter what the future holds, beloved, this morning, put your trust in God. Put your hope in God today. Second, Jesus is the way through a desert of difficulties. Not only through an uncertain tomorrow, but he's the way through a desert of difficulties. Just as the children of Israel journey through the wilderness, facing one difficulty after another, and following the cloud by day and following a pillar of fire by night, so too we can endure hardship as we follow Jesus closely in our lives. Nowhere are we promised a life of ease and comfort. This health and wealth prosperity gospel that is being preached out there, if you simply trust Christ, don't believe it. Because Jesus himself said, in this world you shall have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have some hardship. You're going to have some difficulty. But be of good cheer. I have overcome them. With Jesus, he'll make a way for you to overcome the difficulties that you face in your life. You trust in Jesus. He won't disappoint you. You trust in Jesus. He won't necessarily take your desert away from you, but he will bring you through it, just as he did for the nation of Israel through their desert experience. Listen to what the Lord promised through the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 43, and I often reflect upon these verses in my own life. Isaiah 43, and Isaiah speaking, writing the Lord's words here. Fear not, verse 1, for I have redeemed you, the Lord says through Isaiah. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Isn't that good to know? We're his. He's called us by name. We are his. He's going to take care of us, whatever desert we're going through. When you pass through the waters, the valleys and the storms and the hardships, the difficulties of life, I will be with you. That's the Lord promising that. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? God protected them in the fire, did he not? Not one hair was singed. They didn't even smell like fire when they came out of it. Why? Because the Son of Man, the pre-incarnate Christ, was in the fire with them. Oh, the difference it makes when Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, the Christ himself, is with us, even today. And then he goes on to say, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. What a difference it makes to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Amen. And to know that he's with us in the midst of our difficulties, whatever difficulty we're facing today. He is with us. And by the way, what desert of difficulty are you facing at such a time as this? Maybe a business that is slow. Maybe a boss that is mean. Maybe an employee that just quit on you. Maybe a teacher that seems to play favorites. Or maybe you're being bullied at school, or you made fun of at work or at school for being a Christian. Maybe you're facing major physical issues, or a family member is facing physical issues. Psalm 41:3, the Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. What a great promise that is for those who are facing health issues today. Maybe this COVID-19 is just getting to you. All the news that you're hearing, the social media and the news and the politics and everything that's going on and the isolation and the quarantine and all of this that's going on and not being able to be with certain family members or friends, this mask wearing and all of this is just wearying you. Do I have a witness? Huh? Yeah, it is, isn't it? Difficulties, difficulties. Listen to these words in Psalm 124. The psalmist writes for us some good words that are pertinent for us even today. Psalm 124, one of the songs of ascent as they ascended up to Jerusalem that David wrote. And listen to what he says here in verse 2. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. Wow. Can't we say that too? If it's not for the Lord on our side, where would we be? What would we be doing? How would we survive? That's what he says here. When men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Then I jump down to verse 8. Our help, I love this, is in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Who made heaven and earth. Do you think that God can help us? Didn't he make the heavens and the earth and everything in 6 days? Certainly he can help you. Certainly he can help me with whatever difficulties that we are facing. If it had not been for the Lord, right? What a difference it makes when the Lord is there. And we can have his presence and his power and his help to us. Just remember that whatever difficulty, beloved, that you are facing in life today, that the Lord is on your side. How many believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. He's on your side. And whatever it is that you are facing, it will not swallow you up, as the psalmist says. It will not overwhelm you. It will not ensnare you. And the Lord who made heaven and earth, the psalmist says, he will help you. Amen. He will. Do we believe that? Well, if we believe God's word to be true, we got to believe it, right? No questions asked. God said it, I believe it. That settles it, right? Affirmation number three. Jesus Christ is the way in. Jesus Christ is the way in. First, Jesus is a way into an abundant life. Jesus promised in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I love that. Everyone wants an abundant life, a life that is full of joy and a life that is full of meaning, right? Unfortunately, many confused people think that the abundant life of which Jesus spoke is an affluent life. Not at all. It doesn't take much research to discover that an abundant life and an affluent life cannot be equated together. Some of the most richest people on planet Earth are the most troubled people. Today, lacking peace. So, again, this abundant life is not the affluent life, right? However, the Bible is clear that Jesus is the only way into forgiveness of sins. For example, the Apostle Paul wrote, in him, that is in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7. And never forget that his forgiveness is full, and it is free, and it is forever, and it's meaningful to every heart here today. The forgiveness of the Lord. To know that I am forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. And please understand that this is a huge part of the abundant life. To know that I am forgiven by God. And my heart is pure and washed in the blood of Jesus. And my heart is right with God. Oh, the peace and calmness and assurance in my heart to know that I'm forgiven. All my past, all my present, all my future sins are forgiven at the cross of Jesus. Oh, the freedom this brings to our hearts and the removal of bondage and guilt and shame when I come to Jesus. Do you have this peace? Do you have this assurance of being forgiven today? One more truth to go here is the assurance of eternal life. And also part of the abundant life that Jesus came to provide. And this is no clearer than in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So how do you and I cash in, if you would, on the gift of eternal life? Only one way, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. So you see, eternal life is only given to those who receive Jesus into their lives and permit him to occupy the throne of their lives as Lord and King. And then we can experience this abundant, meaningful life when Jesus Christ is, yes, Savior, but also he is Lord and he is King and he is ruler of my life. And then you and I will experience this abundant life when he is Lord of all. Secondly, Jesus is the way into joy unspeakable. Not only the way into abundant life, but Jesus is the way unto joy unspeakable. And who doesn't want joy, right? And Jesus was so eager for his disciples to experience fullness of joy. He really was. Listen to what he said to his disciples then and to we who are disciples today in John chapter 15. And in verse 11, of course, this is the teaching on the vine and the branches. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. How are we going to bear fruit? And how are we going to have joy in our lives? We need to be connected to the vine, to Jesus Christ. And then there will be this joy. That's what he says here in verse 11. These things have I spoken to you, Jesus says, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Mark this down. Joy is a condition of the heart that is much deeper and more permanent than happiness. So there is a major difference here, is there not, between joy and happiness, is there not? Happiness, you see, is a result of happenings or circumstances, while joy is holy happiness from God, that God can fill a person's heart even in the most adverse circumstances. That's the joy that he wants to give to you and I. Even in the midst of adverse circumstances, there's that joy abiding deep within our heart. Sure sounds like something I want. How about you? This joy. Well, you and I can experience this joy unspeakable when we have Jesus in our life. And when we are abiding in the vine, Jesus, and we're connected to the vine, we're close to Jesus, we're maintaining daily fellowship with him and closeness with Jesus through his word and through prayer and through fellowship and through daily filling or control of the Holy Spirit in our life. We can have this joy. And it's the fruit of the Spirit, is it not? He promises love, peace, and joy when we abide in the vine. Affirmation number 4. Jesus Christ is a way up. Hallelujah. How many believe that this morning? Jesus is the way up. First, Jesus is the way up to our very best. You want to live the very best in your life? You and I were made to walk and talk with God and experience his very best in our lives. We were made in the image of God with a soul, with a spirit, so that we could have a relationship with God and we could experience his very best in our lives. In fact, we are created to glorify God. Isaiah 43:7 teaches us. We were made to worship. We were made to serve God. We were made to live by the law of heaven, which is love, rather than the law of the world, which is greed and hate. And we're seeing a lot of that these days, are we not? You see, Jesus makes life complete. Peter wrote about this in 2 Peter chapter 1. Yeah, he said this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Here's what he said. Verse 3 and 4 of 2 Peter chapter 1. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Wow. You see what God has given to us to make us complete? He's given the very best to us. He's given us everything to live a life of godliness and to live a life that brings glory to his name. He's given us all of that. You see it here? Until one comes to know Jesus, life at its best is but a fraction of what it could be when you choose Jesus and you choose to live a godly life for him in this ungodly world. So if you want to find the best way of living, you must go to Jesus. You must go to Jesus. You don't know what real living is about until you come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Secondly, Jesus is the way up to God. Not only the way up to the very best, but he's the way up to God. And that's clear from our main text this morning. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but through me, or except through me. You see, through Jesus Christ, God came down to dwell with us. Did he not? Just picture the baby in the manger there in Bethlehem that we are soon to celebrate his birth. That was God in the manger. That was God dwelling amongst us. The very name Emmanuel means God with us. God dwelling with us. God came down to dwell among his people. He was born in a crib so that he might die on a cross to take away our sins. And so by his death that we remember here this morning, in a few minutes together, in his shed blood, he removed everything that separates sinners from a holy and a righteous God. He removes everything. And praise God that through faith in Jesus, anyone and everyone, regardless of color, regardless of race, regardless of language, of social status, or past history, can be forgiven and received by God as one of his own dear children and baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, the church. Thirdly, Jesus is the way up to heaven. He's the way up to heaven. So dear ones, only Jesus can bring your soul to glory someday. Since the Father has ordained his Son to be the holy highway, if you would, to heaven, All other paths, all other roads, no matter how attractive, are simply detours to destruction. They really are. The truth is, your journey and my journey must begin with a vital transaction between you and the Savior, accepting his atoning, saving grace and shed blood and finished work on the cross on your behalf and mine as the only way home to God, the only way home to heaven. A man traveling in an unfamiliar territory came to a place where he had to cross some very high mountains. And knowing it would be difficult, he looked for a qualified guide to help him get across the mountain. And when one man offered his service to him, the tourist asked, "Have you ever been to the village where I want to go, on the other side of the mountain?" "No," he replied, "but I've been partway and I've been told how to proceed from there." The traveler answered, "I'm sorry, but you won't do to be my guide." Then another volunteered, and he too was asked the same question by the traveler. "Have you ever been to that town on the other side of this mountain?" "No, but I've been to the top of the mountain, and I've looked down on the road that leads to it." The man replied, "I'm afraid that despite the knowledge you have, I don't dare trust you, trust myself to your leading." Finally, a third man arrived on the scene, and he said that he knew the way perfectly to that town. And when he was asked the same question as the others, he exclaimed, "Sir, the village where you are going," he said to the traveler needing the guide, "the village to where you are going is my home. My home." The traveler knew right away that this was the guide that he needed to get him there. H.G. Bosch of Our Daily Bread penned these words: "Many today seek the path to the city of God. Various religions with their partial insights offer dubious help, but only Christ, whose eternal abode is heaven, can say with authority, 'I am the way home.' Without him, you can never reach the Father's home." And again, as Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through me." So, dear ones, Jesus indeed reveals the only way to God, the truth about God, and the kind of life that is received from God. Accept him today. Will you accept him today by faith? And then you too can be spiritually alive and on your journey to your heavenly home. You really can be. Franklin Graham, son of the great evangelist Billy Graham, president of Samaritan's Purse, expressed these thoughts on Facebook of Charlie Daniels' life. "I was surprised to learn that Charles Daniels, a great American patriot and friend, passed away this morning. But he didn't pass away as someone without no hope. Charlie had given his life to Jesus Christ years ago, and he had the hope of heaven." End of quote. Charlie Daniels, you see, knew Jesus. He knew that Jesus was the only way up to God, to that heavenly home. Do you? Do you know that Jesus is the only way up to God in heaven? Charlie had this certain hope of heaven. Do you? And then for every follower of Christ here today, who can you tell this week that Jesus is the only way of salvation? That he is the only way to have hope in this life and the life to come, and that he is the only way to heaven someday? Who will you and I tell that message to this week? God bless you. Father, thank you for the word of God.